Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We love the verse that says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got breath, you should be able to give him praise. Amen. Amen. He is wonderful to praise. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all that we have heard. Thank God for our visitors and a very, very special privilege to when see when you're a minister, I know something, Reverend Gwen. When you are a minister, it's unique when you get to worship with other people.
Yeah.
Because you're usually at your own station.
Right.
And so it's a special privilege and a special blessing to be able to come out and see what's going on in other segments of the church. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So I understand that, and we are so blessed to have you and First Lady Gail here with us today. And we thank God we're going to be continuing to keep you in prayer. Because we believe God's opening up a new frontier for you. Amen. Where you're heading, there's going to be something there that God has for you. Amen. And so we believe that because we've been able to trust him. Just like what you said, who would ever have thought? Now, I would never have imagined after being here as a student of Dr. Hamilton that eventually I would be at the pulpit here at St. Timothy. Would never have imagined it. Never. It's not to say it didn't cross my mind. I thought that would be a wonderful privilege.
Yeah.
But to see it come to pass, and God did it. That's how it happened. God made it happen. Amen. And so I'm thankful to God for that. Amen. So the hour is late, so we're going to go right ahead because we've come to the best part of the service.
All right.
Amen. We love to give him praise. We love to pray. We love to worship and fellowship with one another. But the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We even have some disciples out that way that are out in Colorado.
Okay.
That listen to us online. So we have people out that way. And one of the brothers, I'm going to let him know that you're heading out in that direction. I'm going to talk with him online. Amen. Because he always listens to our services here on the internet every week, and he sends a donation to help the church. And he's not too far from me. He's in Colorado, actually, but I'm saying he's closer to you than he is to me. So in either case, he might want to connect with you out there. Amen. So we will keep that in mind, and we will go right ahead. Now today, those of you who've been with us, you know we picked up a theme for the year, and this was something God gave me in my prayer time when he said, when I was asking God about discipleship.
Yeah.
He said, why were you asking him about discipleship? Because the Great Commission, as we call it, is when Jesus got up out the grave, defeated death, defeated hell, defeated the devil, defeated all the worst enemies that you and I have. After 3 days and 3 nights, and most folks say the gospel for the end, we put it at the front sometimes.
Yeah.
He got out the grave. The tomb was empty. And he declared in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he told them, therefore go ye and teach all the nations. My Mark adds to it, go ye into all the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. And y'all know I like to say what the Greek says is all the days. And I like that when King James said, always, which is the same thing, but the literal Greek says all the days. I like that only because you don't know how many days there'll be. And however many there are, Jesus said, I'll be with you. You know what else it means? It means the mission of the church has not changed. The church mission is the same as it was when he got out the grave and declared all power is given to me. Unless he came and changed it, which he said he wouldn't, because he said, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. See, I'm going to be with you all the days. I like that because because my days might not be the same as all the days of the church. But however many days I have, he'll be with me.
Yeah.
And as far as the church in general as a whole, however many days she has,
yeah,
he will be with her.
Yeah.
That includes all of you who are part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And we don't know, it's going to be a trumpet sound, somebody said.
Uh-huh.
And at the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we shall all be changed.
Yeah.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
See, it's going to be a mysterious kind of an event that happens on earth. Earth is going to be scrambling trying to find out what happened.
Yeah.
The folks who have not trusted Christ.
Uh-huh.
What happened? Where did all those people go?
Mm-hmm.
Those troublemakers, they probably going to be called. Oh, y'all troublemakers, where did they go? We wanted them to be gone anyway. They all in our business. Where'd they go? Well, that's all right. It's better without them. That's the way they're going to be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're going to find out that they're mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, back to my original thought. Y'all know I go down rabbit trails sometimes.
All right.
The original thought is, you said go and teach. That means, and one translation says, make disciples.
They made disciples.
So I asked the Lord, what should a disciple learn?
Mm-hmm.
And summary came back to me in prayer, and he said, teach them how to love like Jesus.
Yeah.
Now that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus condensed the whole of the scripture into two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
He says, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and all your mind and your might.
Yes.
And love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
So if you can remember those two, you got the whole law. It's covered. So it's condensed down into love.
Yeah,
amen.
So teaching them to love like Jesus would be making them disciples,
yeah,
of Jesus Christ. Now we said that's the most difficult thing for fallen people to perform.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's so many obstacles within our flesh against it.
Amen.
There's things in your flesh and mind that work against us loving like what Jesus did.
Yes.
That's why you see he went to Samaria. The disciples said, well, he can't go there. Them folks are there. They ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's skip that, Jesus, and no, I must needs go to Samaria.
Go.
See, why? Because he loved them. The disciples said, hey, they ain't no good. Let's just skip that and go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
We overlook somebody who Jesus loves.
Yeah.
We find fault with them. Well, there's something wrong with them. We ain't going over there.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing in Wellston? I can't go to Wellston. Just like Nathaniel, he said, hey, nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he told him, come and see.
Come see.
And when he met Jesus, Jesus showed him that he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, Nathaniel, I saw you when you were meditating under the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
He said, wow, you are the Messiah.
Yeah.
Who else could know that? Nobody knew that but the Lord.
Right. Right.
So he calls us to love in a way that you and I really don't understand. And we've got to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to kind of turn the corner because we're trying to accomplish two things. We want to continue on our mission to learn to love like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're coming into the season of the most important event that has ever happened in the history of humanity.
Yeah.
You know what that was? The first advent of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the time that you keep every day, 2019, is based on when Jesus was born.
Yeah.
See, the whole world is on that system. They don't like it. Half of them don't like it. But they haven't done nothing about it yet. They probably will. They're going to be thinking about, somebody's thinking now, how can we rub that out? Because that gives too much power to Jesus. See, and the Bible tells us in Daniel there's going to come a time when they want to change times and dates and all that. I don't think it's too far up the road.
Uh-huh.
See, you're going to hear an announcement one day. Some people are already doing it. They're putting down CE and BCE to try to skip and rub Jesus out of the time factor. See, that's right. They're trying to do that before the Christian era.
Yeah.
You see, but you still really can't get Jesus out of it.
No.
Okay. Then they say, well, let's change it to the common era, like you see.
Yeah.
That way we can get Christ out of it.
Right.
See, they don't want him in there because they don't want to have to report to him, which is crazy. It's crazy because he's the only one who can save your soul. He's the only one who can present you before the Father without a spot or a wrinkle. So why would you be hating on him? So anyway, that's a side point. Keep that in the back of your mind. So today I want to talk with you as we turn the corner to celebrate the most important event that has happened in the history of time.
Mm-hmm.
the first advent of Jesus Christ. There's been nothing more important. I don't care what scientific finds. Somebody want to say, oh, Einstein figured out E equals MC squared. That doesn't compare to the coming of Christ. Doesn't compare. Oh, Edison made the light bulb. Yeah, that does not compare to the first coming of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, those people actually believe that there is a God, the folks who are the great inventors and all them. Mm-hmm. Some of these people now try to get God out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Like the Romans 1 thing, Paul says that they didn't want to retain God in their thoughts anymore. Mm-hmm. See, so professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God and for an image. Amen. So that's the kind of world we live in. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to this. What I want to talk about today as we discuss and make preparation for celebration of the most important event that has taken place in the history of time up till now, which is the first advent of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you today. Last week we looked at how we can walk in the sunlight, sunlight, even on a cloudy day. We said there's stuff in this world that tends to cloud and shadow over the glory of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. But we can walk in the sunlight because his light comes right through the dark cloud, yeah, right into your life. Yeah. And it's a matter of mental preference.
Yeah.
You can choose to trust Jesus.
Yeah.
No matter what you're dealing with.
Amen.
Whatever you're going through, I can think about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus wants you to do that. He wants that communion, that connectivity with us.
Yeah.
So that we can get through all the rough stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'm going to take the rough stuff out of your life.
No,
he said, I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
And trouble.
Amen.
I'm going to go with you through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
No matter where you are, I'm going to be with you. Lo, he said,
oh,
I am with you. So that is the sunlight that comes in even on a cloudy day when there's dark clouds all around us. And we said we was going to try to skip Sister Julia singing that. Sometimes the clouds hang low and I can't hardly see the road. Sister Gail can normally blow that one too. Sister Lemon, she's always on that too.
Yeah.
But either case, we won't go there today. We'll just leave that for another day. But in either case, we know that we need to learn to love enough to speak the gospel plain and clear. That's what's missing. You know, so many people are afraid, oh, you know, if I say the gospel, I have to inform people that they're sinners. Oh, and they're going to be offended. Jesus did it all the time. The apostles did it all the time. And it's part of the territory. See, they want to say, well, let's go through here and extract everything that might be caustic to a person. And we're just going to talk about the smooth side of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Make everything smooth. Let's not talk about no sin and judgment and lust and hell and all that. Let's just skip that. Let's talk about all the blessings that God has given.
Yeah.
And so that way it won't be offensive to anybody. But you know what? I refuse to redact God. Because I don't think I'm a high enough office to redact God. How am I going to go and edit God? Who do I think I am?
Right.
See, so I need to love enough to speak the gospel plain and clear.
Yeah.
That's what the early church did. We're going to see that in our message today. So our annual theme of learning to love like Jesus is based on John 13 and 35, where he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's so simple. Why is it so hard for me and you? It's so simple. He said that the people will look at how you love one another. And they go, boy, that's amazing how they get along and how they care for each other. See, and that'll be more attractive than me going out, standing on the corner preaching. When they just feel the connection, the connectivity and the love that the church has for one another. So that's a powerful thing.
Yes.
And so the what I want to say here is he says, so he says, you are my disciples and they'll know this because you love one another. So now that we are entering into the season in which we celebrate the victory of the first advent. See, that's another thing. They shouldn't be scared of the first advent. It was victory for the ones who love Jesus and understand it. Let us focus on giving the fallen world the right information so that they can be saved. That's what we ought to focus on.
Right.
This week's message we have chosen to call Loving Enough to Speak the Gospel Plain and Clear. Okay, so I'm going to take you on a short expose in the Psalms. The psalmist writes these psalms, and this, of course, has been attributed to David. And it is called, this is a special thing, I'm going to kind of just go through this, and I think we'll hold out on the reading today, and I'll kind of read it as we go, because I want to hit a few other spots. This is called a mitkan, which is a word that was difficult to translate from Hebrew into English. And these psalms, and notice they are psalms with the number 6 in it, psalms number 16, psalms 56, and psalms 60 are called mitkan, and they are attributed to David. Okay, and I did a little research just to look that up. The word occurs in the these titles of, it actually of 6 psalms, 16, 56, and 60. But I'll tell you what I want to do, give you a slight homework assignment. Read Psalm 6, Psalm 46. Read all the 6 psalms all the way through. But only 3 of them are called mitkan. And you're going to find there's a connected thing within those psalms with 6s. You know what? 6 is the number of man and the number of his name. 666. Y'all remember that, right?
Yeah.
But there's something about these because they talk about atonement. They seem to suggest atonement and deep fellowship with God, all of these. And so this is what we want to say. Now, I got something from another Bible dictionary that says, no one is precisely sure what mitkan actually was or what it means. And that's why the Hebrew word remains as a transliteration rather than a translation. They didn't translate it. The translate is to say what it means. For example, if I say lithos, that's a word that means stone or rock. You could say boulder, lithos. But if I didn't know what words close to that in English, you could say a number of words. That's why you see different translations. A lithos is a stone, a rock, a boulder. You can start naming a granite. If I say megalithos, that's a big rock.
Yeah.
Or a large rock, or an enormous rock, or a tremendous boulder. All of those would be good translations. But some words you can't translate word for word.
Right.
So there is no word in English that translates mitkan, so they leave it as a transliteration, which means this is how you say that Hebrew word in English. And so that's what I wanted you to see there. And so let's look at the significance of this as we take a look at Psalms number 16. And the other stuff can be kind of a homework assignment for you. Psalm 16, I'm going to put in at verse 5. The Lord is, you can read with me if you want, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my life. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy patience is full presence, is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are forevermore. See that? At the right hand of God, pleasures forevermore. Now, of course, that was quoted about the resurrection of Christ in one of Peter's sermons in the book of Acts. So let's go to Acts now, chapter 4, verse 7, and read a few verses. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of for the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by of you the builders, become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You may be seated.
Amen.
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 You know what? This is a plain, clear gospel message.
Amen.
You couldn't walk away from them and say, man, maybe Buddha can help me. No! No! There is none other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
That's clear. I don't care what name you name. Name a name. Gandhi, no sir, no ma'am. One name. So clear, so plain. And that's where they started. They were talking to the Jews. The Jews are the covenant people.
Right.
They are the people to whom the word of God was entrusted all the way from the beginning, clear on up till time Christ came.
Yeah.
We call it the Old Testament. See, he entrusted them with the oracles of God, Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 9. They had perfect and complete information from God about the coming of Messiah, that first advent before Jesus was born. And now the apostles say he is the Messiah. He is the promised one that God promised from the foundation of the world, from eternity past. And there's salvation in no other. It didn't make any difference who, what anybody else said was God. There's salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven. Now where can you go except under heaven? Have you thought about it? Where else can you be except under heaven? I don't care if you go to Pluto, you're under heaven. You can go to wherever, Alpha Centauri, name someplace. You know, the sun, you're under heaven. So wherever you are in the heavens, that's why y'all always hear me jokingly say, E.T., if you're out there, you need to bow your knee to Jesus. If you want to be saved. Because there's no other name under heaven. They want to say, well, that makes it different because there's probably a whole lot of more other generations. And if they out there, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
That's plain and clear. So why do we want to put out a convoluted message? You know, we're going to give away a football if you come to church. Football? Are you kidding me? They have all kinds of concoctions and ridiculous nonsense that people talk about. Well, I was flying my plane and went down into Florida. Who cares? Tell me about Jesus, please. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's what they said when the Greeks came and to Philip and wanted to know. We would see Jesus. We want to hear about Jesus. So we need to have a clear, plain gospel message. Think about it. Your message really isn't bad. It's the best news on the world. Gospel, euangelizo, means good news. Why is it good news? Because a total wretch like me who is undone can be made perfectly right before Almighty Holy God?
Yeah.
What news could be better?
Yeah.
There isn't any better news than that. He's going to accept me by faith in his son. The work he did all by himself. See, has nothing to do with what I'm dealing with. Now, does that free me and set me to go ahead and sin? No. Just the opposite. God said when you believe my son, my spirit is going to come in you. You'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. For the day of redemption. Now you know what? He's going to seal you from the beginning when you start your relationship with him for the day of redemption. What day is that? That's the next coming of Christ. When he comes to collect his church and do business with the people who continue to reject him. See? He's going to deal with them. And you know what's really amazing to me? When he snatches the church out, guess what? He's still not done. He's still giving folks who've rejected him and say that there's other things that can get you right with God. He's giving them another chance.
Thank you.
To be saved. The people, they're from that point on in the Bible, the reference is to the dwellers on the earth. For to the people who dwell upon the earth. They're not believers anymore because they don't believe in Christ. And all of Christ's people have been snatched up, the church. We call the rapture. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive and remain, he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and following, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, therefore comfort ye one another with these words. We only hear it at funerals. It's amazing. We ought to hear it on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. I'm happy that when it gets all out of control, and God knows when that'll be, where it was caustic for a Christian to continue to be here, Jesus is going to snatch you right up. Take you out of the mix, because it's time for me to deal with these people who reject me. And there's going to be 7 years of human history left at that point. See? And then he's going to deal with them. Now it's amazing to me, God has mercy to give them another 7 years.
You're making it plain. You're making it plain.
They're going to have another 7 years to get it together. He could just say, okay, that's it. These believe, burn that up.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because he loves. Like enough to speak the gospel plain and clear.
Yeah.
The message is not going to change. When the church is taken up, guess what? It's the same message that will get you saved when the church is not here as it was when the church was here.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says there's going to be an angel in mid-heaven preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel's going to go on even after the church is taken up.
Yeah.
See? And people are going to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
God is merciful. He's kind. He loves everyone.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be judging people. We ought to be telling them the gospel plain and clear.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to judge you. I need you to know God loves you exactly the way you are.
Yeah.
But you need to love him back.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell y'all about that song. Y'all know about it anyway. It's so good to love somebody if somebody loves you back. Y'all heard that one. That ain't in the Bible, let me tell you. But y'all know about it. God wants you to love him back. He already loves you. He loves you just like you are. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. When you come into a relationship with him, he will change you. He'll make you the best you can possibly be. I think it's witnesses all in the room who realize that God is making me someone better than I ever been in my life. He's making changes right now. You know, and I still got a ways to go. I don't know about y'all. Y'all might already have arrived. But I got a ways to go, but I'm getting better. God is fixing me day by day. Now notice this psalmist. He says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. That's what he's looking for. I'm not necessarily looking to stack up a bunch of junk here. The Lord is my inheritance. It's okay to stack some, leave some for the next people, because you don't know how long they'll be here if you happen to go before them. So stacking up is good, but don't let that be your focus. Focus on the fact that the Lord is my inheritance.
Yeah.
And of my cup. See? And he says, thou maintainest my life. You keep me moving along, Lord. I give him all the credit. The lions are falling unto me in the pleasant places. In other words, all the good stuff in my life is mixed in with all this other turmoil that I have to deal with every day. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. See that? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. God is teaching me. He's my instructor. He's my counselor. He's my everything. He's everything I need. You see that? My reins also instruct me. In other words, he guides me like reins on a horse. And in the night seasons, he knows when you come in, even in dark times, I can give you instruction what you ought to do.
Amen.
See that? I have set the Lord always before me.
Yeah.
See, now you know what? You can't be in the dark if the Lord is always before you.
Yeah.
How are you going to be in darkness?
The
Bible says God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If the Lord is in your mind, you cannot be in darkness. Even though there might be a dark time or a dark situation that I'm going through, the light of the Lord is my lamp. He's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path through his word. See that? So he says, and my reins instruct me in the night seasons. You see that? This psalmist is tuned in. I have the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Now, it looks like some stuff might knock me off my pins.
Yeah.
I might not be able to handle something that's coming up on me.
Yeah.
But if the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. God has a course for you. Therefore, my heart is glad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mind may not be glad sometimes, but my heart is glad, because I know God is going to be with me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yeah.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yeah.
See, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
My cup runneth over. That's what the psalmist says.
Yeah.
You see, and so basically here, keeping God in your mind, even whatever you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm going to be with you right there. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. So even when I'm put down, down for the final time, I'm going to rest in hope. Because I know God's going to raise me up. He's already appointed. I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We preach that at funerals, but we don't talk about it on Sunday morning sometimes. See, but it's a good thing to know your account is already set up. God got you covered. And you don't have to worry about it. So don't let anything put fear in your spirit. You know, keep the Lord always at your right hand. He says, for thou will not leave my soul in hell. See that? Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That means Jesus, when he came, didn't even decompose. I was in the grave because, you know what, I came mainly to show you that I am the resurrection and the life. You don't have to worry about that. Death is the most foreboding, scary thing in the world. I believe it hurts us. It hurts us bad even when we lose somebody. But we need to get back right here. Park right here.
Park there.
God got you covered.
Thank you.
He's got you covered no matter who you lost. You know what? They might be lost to you if they were saved. Guess what?
They made it.
They're rejoicing in the Lord. You know what? We talked about this. We were doing a Bible study in Hebrews 12, and I'm going to be done here shortly. Hebrews 12 says, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look what he went through. A grisly murder for no reason. He was totally innocent. I can't imagine how he could take it. He says, consider him as you go through what you're going through. You know, because you haven't resisted to shedding blood like he did. They flogged him like he did something really bad. He did nothing wrong. And he took all that so he could buy your redemption and mine. He took people spitting on him who he created. I could just uncreate you. You don't have to continue to exist. I created you. I can undo your atoms and you go back into nothing.
Yeah.
If I want to, but I let you spit on me. I let you press a crown of thorns in my head. I let you shed the only perfect blood that's been on this earth since Adam before he sinned. And it's shedding and it's pouring out. I thought about this morning. I'm just going to say this because this is pretty heavy. It's not in the Bible, people. It's written in the Bible. It doesn't say this, what I'm about to say, literally. And I want you to hear it because it's deep. I wondered all this time, and I told this to my wife, why in the world does it say that it's not good that man should be alone? Before there's any sin, that's the first thing the Bible says, it's not good. Like, wow, how can there be something not good? There's no sin yet in Genesis chapter 2. Okay. But the Bible says, not good that the man should be alone. And you know what he said? I'm going to make a help meet for him. There was a lot of reasons why Adam was alone. He didn't have a mate. He couldn't propagate himself. God had told him be fruitful and multiply. He couldn't do it. Had no way to do it. See, so it's not good that man is not should be alone. And then it says that God put Adam in a deep sleep.
Yes.
And he opened up the flesh thereof. And he took out a rib and he made a woman. This all happens while Adam has not sinned. Guess what kind of blood Adam had when this happened? Sinless blood. That hit me like a ton of bricks.
Write it down.
Think about it. Sinless blood. It had to be surgery. That's why it says he opened the flesh. Sinless blood was shed. Eve was crafted.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the bone and the flesh of Adam. God had sinless blood before man sinned. Guess what kind of blood Adam had after Genesis 3 when he sinned? Sinful blood. The Bible said the life of all flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. I pour it out upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. So God, now I'm not saying the Bible says he did this, but he did do surgery.
Yes, he did.
It says he opened up the flesh, took out a rib, formed a woman. Do you think, what do you think happened when the flesh was opened? Blood!
Sinless blood
was shed. When he made the woman.
Yeah, there's a connection.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You know what? Women do not share the bloodstream with children. Did you know that?
That's right.
So the father, the blood of the father,
yeah.
is carried by the woman in her womb with no connection to her bloodstream. So when the babies went in the womb, why is it that we all have the blood of our father Adam? Because Eve didn't contribute to the blood. Her blood was still sinless.
Yeah.
See, that's why the man is responsible for sin.
Right.
Think about that. One other time when sinless blood was shed, I noticed, other than at the cross.
At the cross.
Think about this. Before the cross, when Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day.
Yeah.
In the temple. Sinless blood was shed.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Uh-huh. He had done nothing wrong. There was no deceit in his mouth. Yeah. See, he was taken as a baby on 8 days old. Sinless blood was shed. Yeah. One more time. And then it was 33 years later before sinless blood was shed again. Yeah. And that capped up the whole thing. For all of eternity. Now, and I just could only speculate about how all that happened. Maybe God took that blood he took from Adam. Now, I'm saying maybe now because this is not in your Bible. Maybe he took that blood and that's where I got the sinless blood to implant my son in the womb of Mary, the virgin. Because she's not going to contaminate it because women don't contribute to the blood. I don't know. Just a thought that crossed my mind. But this is a deep thing to think about. But these are times when sinless blood was shed.
Yeah.
There's only been a few. Innocent blood was shed all the time. Genesis 3:21. After Adam and Eve sinned, God took an animal and he slayed the animal who was not guilty to die in the place of the guilty sinners. Covered them with coats of skins. Isn't that what it says? See, innocent blood, but not sinless blood. Because God cursed the ground and the earth because of Adam's sin. See, and everything was cursed from that moment on. But before then, I just thought about that sinless blood shed. And it hit my spirit. So, and what I'm saying here, what I want to get back to, I don't want to go too far afield, but that's a deep thing to think about, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is.
And it's true. The Bible says it's true. We know that much. It is true.
Yeah. Amen.
And now this is what I want you to see here. The psalmist King David taught and understood that the things of this life were not the only nor main things to be concerned, to concern themselves with, but rather that we should see that it is our relationship to God that we must treasure and that God himself is our long-term inheritance. So don't get hung up on material stuff. Have as much of it as you want. God had kings. He had folks that owned all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Abraham was rich.
Yeah.
All kinds of people had much substance, but that was not the focus of their life.
Right.
The Lord is my inheritance.
Yeah.
See? Because I'm going to leave this for somebody else if I go before them, and it's good to have something to leave somebody else. So stack it up, but don't let it stack you up. Stack it up, but don't you let it stack you up and get you hung up.
Yeah. Right.
See what I'm saying? The Lord is your inheritance. Yeah. David knew it.
Yeah.
Think about what King David had. All the stuff the Bible says. Y'all been reading the Bible. You know what it says. Okay, notice this. The message of the apostolic church was clear.
It was clear.
It was not the least bit ambiguous. There's no way you could leave out of here and think something different than that Jesus is the only way you can be saved.
Amen.
No way. You will not go out of here and think anything or be in the slightest doubt that something or someone else is able to save you.
Yeah.
It was all about the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah and what this means for everyone.
Amen.
That's the impetus of the church. Not footballs and daycare and all the kind of mess people are concerned about.
Yeah.
How about the gospel, the truth?
Yes.
How about showing people love? It's okay to do those things, but don't let that become the center of your focus.
Right.
We need a clear message so people can hear it and be saved. If they figure, Christianity is one of many things, that's what they say, and you don't make it plain, then you are working against them.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure everything is crystal clear.
Yeah.
Finally, we as the visible church must hold fast the things of God and be certain that it is has always been better to be covered with his love and sacrifice than it could ever be without it. Without him, we can do nothing. That's what he said, right? Even if we own the entire world. Jesus said that, didn't he? Matthew 16:26. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mr. Trump. You can gain the world, but what about your soul?
Yeah.
How about when you go in the box? What's up then? See, you might think, well, I can get the finest doctors on earth, Beth. They can't keep you around, buddy. You got to check in with the master before it's over. See, there you go. But the box is coming. Y'all know that. And I always say, think outside the box. That's what Dr. Adams reminded me of a previous message. And so this is all we want to do is make sure people know God loves you. He accepts you just like you are.
Thank you.
He'll bring you in just like you are. Most of the people think, well, when I get my life together, I'm going to join the church. You might not never get in the church. You need to come like you are. Just like you are. I'm going to ask y'all to stand right now. We're going to pray. Come as you are. Let God take care of it. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We have heard the clear gospel. It is good news that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever, that means anybody who's hearing this message, can not perish but have everlasting life. Not perishing means we won't go to hell where we belong, but you'll save us. And you'll give us heaven instead of hell. Just by faith in your son, Jesus Christ. You sent him to a grisly cross when he had done nothing wrong. Brought him in the world without sin because you've set that up way back in the Garden of Eden and even in eternity. So you can make your entrance into the flesh without sin. And Father, we love you the best we know how. And we pray that somebody will hear this message and be saved. All they have to do is believe it. To as many as believe him and receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God. Even those that believe on his name. If you hear the message, you trust in Christ, God has accepted you. Because you couldn't even believe if he didn't give you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have put the message out and made it clear. We hope that many will hear it and know that they are saved. And then when they do that, when we give the plain, clear message of the gospel, because we love them, because God loves them, then God will give them his Holy Spirit. And he will lead you and guide you to all truth. So you don't ever have to worry about your situation, your position with God. Just walk by faith and not by sight. Save somebody who is hearing the message right now, Lord God. We thank you and we give you praises. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said together, amen. Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Amen. And if you're